All right. Thank you again for being with us this morning. And we're grateful that, again, you would choose to be with us. If I can get a little more on the monitors, please. On this Easter Sunday, of course, we call it Resurrection Sunday. And when Jesus Christ arose from the grave. And I want to focus, of course, on Easter, you want to talk about Jesus, of course. And you want to talk about the resurrection, but it's, you know, I when we were designing our track and I saw the title, that's why it's up there, Let It Change You, I thought that would be the message right there. Yeah. And I thought that's what we need to talk about this morning. Because it's good to talk about a Bible story. And of course, the resurrection is the foundational story. But there's a reason for the stories. There's a reason behind why Jesus arose from the grave. And that's not just something that we should think about what he did. If we really understand it and understand Christ, it changes our life forever. And I hope that that's going to be your story as well. That's just, you know, there are some things in life that just naturally change us. You know, when you got married, that changed you. Hopefully for the better, okay? But of course for the better. When you had children, it changed you. And so we want to look at it this from a spiritual standpoint because things that happen in our life change us. But here's the thing. How they change us depends on how we choose to react to them. Many of you may have heard of a lady named Corrie Ten Boom. She and her family were arrested during World War II because they were hiding Jews from the Nazis. And she wrote a story, his resting place, where she talks about a lot of the horrible things that they went through. In fact, as they were in the concentration camps, she survived, but her sister didn't. Years later, she was out, and she was sharing her story of God's grace and how it was the grace of God that got her through this whole thing. And she was at a church speaking to some folks there. They had her in the church to give her testimony. And she said afterwards, a man came up to her to shake her hand, and she recognized him immediately. He was one of the guards at the concentration camp. And she remembered how he was particularly cruel to them. He came to her and asked for her forgiveness, told her that he had become a Christian and was tears in his eyes and begging her for forgiveness. And here's what she said. She said, he stuck his hand out after asking for forgiveness to shake my hand. And she's like, I just couldn't bring myself to shake his hand. And then she talked about how later God worked on her to give her forgiveness and she was able to forgive him. Situations come in life like that and things come in our life and they can push us either in the right direction or the wrong direction, but we have to choose how we're going to react to them. Amen. I want to look at this story and I want to apply this to the resurrection. We're going to look at these men that were discouraged and what happened to them. Luke chapter 24 takes place after Jesus had died and been resurrected. And so as he is, there's these two men and they are going home. They're going to their village in Emmaus. And the ladies, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, the ladies had went to the tomb and they found out that Jesus was not there. And this story starts to spread. And these two men are going home to their town. It was a 7 or 8 mile track for them. And by the way, they didn't have Uber back then. Okay, they didn't even have electric bikes. And so they're walking and it's a tough track. And as they're going, they're discouraged. Now they had heard the stories that the ladies had said, hey, we've been to the tomb and we heard that Jesus was, that it was empty and that Jesus was resurrected, but they were having trouble connecting the dots and they were having trouble believing it in their discouragement. And as they walk and they're going down there, they meet Jesus Christ. Now, they don't know it's Jesus. He kind of put the scales over their eyes so that they didn't know it was him. And he starts to talk to them, and that's the verses that we read there. And they're like, why are you guys sad? And they're like, where have you been? Haven't you heard what happened? And then they tell him the story, and then Jesus starts to talk to them a little bit. He asserts that what had happened was supposed to happen. Look in verse 27 of the chapter if you have your Bibles open still. And here's what Jesus did. It says that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And so Jesus says, well, they're discouraged and they don't understand what happened to Jesus. So Jesus just goes through the scriptures and says, hey, this is what was supposed to happen. Here's the significance behind this. And he's telling them, and then they get home. And he acts like he's ready, like, all right, you guys go to your room. I'll see you later. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, and he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave unto them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now as they're sitting down to eat, and some people believe it's because when he sat down to eat, they saw the nail scars in his hand. But for whatever reason, all of a sudden it clicks, the scales lifted, it's like, that was Jesus. He is resurrected. Now they're starting to formulate in their mind. Everything they had heard about Jesus being risen, it's true. The ladies weren't just, you know, delusional or confused. Everything they had heard about why he had come to this earth, their confusion, it's confirmed. By the way, Jesus had told his disciples what was going to happen, but for some reason, they had trouble connecting the dots. Everything they were feeling, which was causing them to be down, is now replaced with energy and joy. Once they realize that the resurrection is real, they're changed forever. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us in the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. By the way, all of a sudden they're energized. We read the Bible sometimes and we don't get it. That was a long journey all day to walk home, and they're home and it's evening. And that's why they told Jesus when they didn't know he is, hey, it's evening time. You don't travel at night. Stay with us. Now they get up and they take off with a new energy. They must have been tired and they must have been down. But now that they know that the resurrection is true, up they go, out the door, and they head to tell the believers that, hey, it's real. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Everything is different. Those who were fearful are now going to become fearless. Those who ran for their lives when Jesus was arrested, now they're willing to give up their lives. That is, by the way, let me just say this. It's not the message, but that's one of the reasons that one of the reasons among many that we know the resurrection is true. These men who ran for their lives are now willing to give up their lives because they know Jesus is alive. They know it's not a myth. And by the way, no one would willingly give up their lives for something they know is a lie. Some people have given their lives up for something that they believed in was a lie, but they didn't know it was a lie. These men willingly, once they knew Jesus was alive, you couldn't shut them up. And they were willing to die. And I'm going to say this, a lot of them did give up their lives. Why? Because the resurrection is a real event. As we think this morning about how can Easter change you, we're going to look at this story and see how it changed them. You see, let's not just think that, well, okay, we came to church today and we heard about the fact Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead and we go home. No, it ought to do something in your life. Amen. Knowing that Jesus is alive and everything we go through on this earth is not just meaningless, ought to change us in a forever way. Yeah. What kind of, by the way, the greatest thing it gives us is hope. Yeah. It's hope. This earth isn't all, this world isn't all there is. What kind of hope did they get that changed them? Let me give you a couple thoughts. First of all, the resurrected changed them by giving them joy in their sadness. Look at verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk, and are sad. These men, now they're not sad once they start running down to tell the men, but they were sad. What they had hoped was going to happen did not happen. Their faith was crushed. Their lives had been upended. Their beliefs had been challenged. And these men are sad. By the way, why? Because they believed in something that they thought would change their situation, would change their life, would be eternal. And now they're thinking, is it even real? By the way, if your life is only tied up in this life, you're going to be sad. And not a sadness that happens. Sometimes there's things we sad because we miss something, but we know there's an eternal purpose. I mean, there's a sadness because it doesn't make sense. And in your mind, that's all there is in this life. I would hate to just be living for this life. Disappointments and sadness are going to be everywhere. How do you turn that sadness into joy? I'll tell you how you do that. You live for eternity. You understand that Jesus Christ, he's not a myth. It's not just a story in the Bible. It's not just something that factually happened, and that's great. It happened for our benefit. In the midst of their confusion, the joy which had disappeared is now back. Life can be wonderful, but also filled with things that could cause great sorrow. You know, it's easy to be happy in life when things are going well. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, you go to work and you get a raise. You go to work, you get a promotion. I mean, everything's going well. Your relationships in your life, everything's great. But what about those other times? You go to work, you don't get a promotion, you get laid off. Sometimes you struggle in relationships. Sometimes the circumstances of life don't turn out the way you want them to turn out. Can you still have joy in those times? If you look at things from God's perspective, yes, you can. If you look at things from eternity's perspective, yes, you can. If you look at things from the fact that there is an eternity and God knows what's going on in my life, then yes, you can. Amen. Too many people walk around in sorrow way too often. But Jesus can change that. Do you know the Bible tells us to be joyful? It's like, you ever do that? Maybe I was the only one that did that. Like kids, you discipline them and they're sad. It's like, quit crying and be happy. It's like, how do you do that? Okay, it's like, I probably shouldn't tell them that. It's kind of hard. Like, everything's okay. Calm down. Well, let's get happy here. But he tells us to be happy. You know, Thessalonians tells us rejoice evermore. Philippians tells us rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Written by someone who was spending time in jail simply for being a Christian. And he said, you know what? If I understand God and I understand what I'm doing for him and I have a relationship with him, I ought to have joy. So the resurrection can bring us joy in the sadness. It also can bring us security when we're confused. Verse 21, he says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. They were so confused because I thought Jesus was going to come, and I thought he was going to give us freedom, and he was the Messiah. Now, they were mistaken as to what the Messiah was here for. They wanted Jesus to come and throw off the Roman rule in their life, and they could have a sovereign nation and have that freedom there as long as the spiritual things. But Jesus came more for the kingdom of God. He came more for the spiritual things of life. And they're confused. They were confused to the point to where when they heard from the ladies that Jesus was alive, they just couldn't believe it. What happened? They lost their security because things didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to happen. The word there he uses is astonished. The word astonished means like thrown out of place, dislodged. Everything now is kind of just all over the map type of thing. There's two things that people really want in life. You know, you ask, they may not state it correctly, but they want significance. They want to know that their life has a purpose, that life has a meaning. But another thing we want security. We don't like when things are out of sort. We want to look at the future and make sure that that's nailed in and we won't have to go through things. But can I just tell you something? You're not going to have that type of security in this life. Yep. Right. Apart from Jesus Christ. That's why we struggle so much. We have a problem, we lose our assurance, and we're no longer in control, and everything is uncertain. You know why the average person wants to be rich? Let's just be real honest. People play the lotto. Someone said the lotto is a tax for people that are bad at math. But you know why we do these things and we want, and by the way, if you work hard and God blesses you, you make money, that's one thing. But when we look to be rich, most of the time, it's because we think that if we had enough money, we would be secure. We'd never have a problem again. Say, I have a heart. Psalm chapter 73, Asaph. He oversaw all the musicians for King David, and he said that he almost fell away from his faith because he saw wicked people that were rich, people that didn't care anything about God, and he made all these ridiculous statements. They're not like other people. They don't have problems, none of which was true. You're going to have problems in this life. I don't care who you are, Christian, unchristian, you're going to have problems. The problem is when we don't have Christ, it chips away at our insecurities. We're like, am I ever going to get through this? Are things going to get worse? Can it ever get better? But when we know that there's something greater than that, when we know that we serve a God who's alive from the dead, we know that we're not on our own. Didn't like the message, I guess. Or hungry. We won't be long. I'm hungry too, and I don't want to start crying, to be honest with you. Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Read that chapter. It's talking about the things of this life. He goes, look, just put God first. What else can the resurrection do? It gives us faith in times of fear. Look at verse 25. Jesus, you know, I know we like this picture of Jesus where he never says anything. Everything's always sweet and kind. Sometimes Jesus was pretty straightforward. Look what he said. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Yep. He's like, guys, you're not getting it. This is supposed to happen. You're fearful about life. You're fearful about what's going on. Come on now, get it together. This was supposed to happen. Have faith. Remember when he told the disciples in the ship, like they got all afraid that here's Jesus sleeping at the bottom of the ship and there's a storm and they think the ship's going down, they're all going to die. And the worst part is they wake Jesus up and say, don't you care that we're going to die? I mean, look, he was at the bottom of the ship. Everything was going to be okay. And what did Jesus, he got on them like, come on, guys, where's your faith? Here's the problem. It's easy to have faith when everything's going good. Oh, yeah. Oh, God is so good. Why? Because good things are happening. So God's not good when something that's not good happens. It's just life. God is good in those. You know when we see the goodness of God? In those times. Because when things are going well, I'll be honest, this is all of us. We kind of put God over here because we don't need him. And that sounds blasphemous, but I'm not, we need him. We don't realize we need him because everything's going good. But sometimes someone's got to knock the apple cart over so we realize, hey, what's going on here? Faith. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'm not saying be crazy, you know, all that stuff, but I'm saying let's have faith. Well, things aren't going my way. That's okay. What is faith? When you believe God enough to do whatever he says, despite any fears you might have. By the way, we all have fears, right? Fear is only wrong when you allow it to alter your decisions or the course of your life. Yeah. Faith says, I may have fear, but I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. He said, hey, put the fear away, guys. Let's have faith. Also, it'll change us because we'll learn the truth in all of the deceptions. Look at verse number 27. How did he start to change their mind? He says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in the scriptures, all things concerning himself. He said, okay, guys, let's just back away here for a second. Let's look at the scriptures and see what the scripture says. You're being deceived. Now, they're being deceived by their own minds right now and their emotions. By the way, never follow your emotions. You know, oh, follow your heart. Okay. Can I just say you might want to have 911 ready? It's going to come. But it's like, guys, let's just get to that which we know is true. Let's get to that which we know is secure. Let's talk about the scriptures. He could have went to Isaiah chapter number 53. Could have went to all these different scriptures that talked about the Messiah and what was going to come so that they understood all of it. And he's saying, listen, don't believe the lie. And the greatest lie we tell is the one we tell ourselves. And he went straight to the scripture. He simply went to the Word of God and showed him everything that had happened fit perfectly into God's plan. Our problem is we think God's plan doesn't have any detours or bumps or struggles. And that's just not true. And the only way we get through the bumps and the troubles of life is through the truth. And let me just say this, truth is only found in the Word of God. Nowhere else. Be careful who tells you the truth. You're not going to find the truth on the news, I'll tell you that right now. You're not going to find the truth on the guys that are on the radio. Not going to happen. Not going to, I hate to say it, you're not going to find the truth in most of our educational systems. The real truth, the truth for which we can base our life on, comes from the scripture. And it comes from God. And when we get into that, we won't be deceived. He says that if we follow Christ, there's light in the darkness. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened us to scripture? It's like there was an illumination. All of a sudden they see. Things were dark. And now there's light. And now they're seeing everything very, very, very clearly. And their hearts, which was once sad, were now really burning. They realize from the scriptures who the Messiah really is. And they realize also what the Messiah was supposed to do. And their lives were changed. When that light turns on, there's an excitement that comes. It's funny how people tell you they can't get excited about, you know, the cult religion. You can't get excited about religion or God. That's kind of a personal thing, and you just kind of keep it to yourself because, you know, people, well, I'm just not the excitable type of person. I have found this. Find something they're interested in. You ever talk to somebody? You know, they don't like to talk, like, how are you doing? Fine. What's your name? Boom. You know, you live around here? Yeah. Yeah, how many met something like that? Here's how you talk to them. Oh, hey, you like to fish? Oh, yeah. They'll tell you about their fishing pole. You know, and, you know, 2012, it's this, and it's gold-plated and all that stuff. Come on now, you know it is. You find out what's interesting to them. Listen, when the light goes on and you're excited about Jesus Christ, the darkness goes away. Amen. And then lastly, let me say this, and this is the most important. There's life after death. That's the greatest change. Last week we used these scriptures, we went a different direction, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter, the end of the chapter, it says this. After Christ's resurrection, they go through the whole thing, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? People are afraid of death, and I'm not saying we need to go on the next boatload, okay? But it's not something we should fear. Where's your victory? If death is the end and that is it, then the grave wins. No. It lost. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the victory? It's talking about the resurrection. Death has been conquered. You say, oh, I don't have to die. No, you're going to die. I'm going to die. Hopefully not today. We're going to die someday unless Jesus Christ comes. And but you know what? There's nothing to fear about that. By the way, that's not the end. There is an afterlife in Jesus Christ because he came to die for our sins on the cross to pay for our sins. But here's an important part. He had to resurrect from the grave to give us life. Once he died, look, that's part of it all. He didn't, look, there's been a lot of people that have come and started religions and given beliefs about afterthought and about afterlife and all these different things. And something happened to all of them. They died. That was the end for them. Not for Christ. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. Now let me say this. That's what needs to be conquered in all of our lives. Because I'll be honest with you, if we don't have Christ, death is something that we need to fear. How does the resurrection change? I'll tell you how it changed me. And many of you already know this. If you've been in our church, you're probably sick of hearing it, but that's okay. I like telling it. I went to church 1970. I hate to say that. You're going to figure out how old are. I thought you. I'm going to shock you. I'm not 40. Yeah, I went to church in 1978. Pastor Esposito, we grew up together. We were best friends, and he was a Christian, and I wasn't. I was high school age. I was out of high school. I dropped out early. It had no goal. Just nothing but a problem. And he, hey, come to church with me. It's Easter. Come. Let's just go on Easter Sunday. Come with me. I need someone to come. I went. Like, okay. I mean, I can give you that. And they talked about this type of thing. They talked about the gospel. They talked about how my life can overcome death because it's tied to Jesus Christ and I can know where my eternity is. You know, most people believe when it comes to, hey, heaven, am I going to go to heaven when I die? It's like, well, you know, I hope so. Hey, once you die, it's over. I want to know before I go. Are you with me? That's not something I want to leave to chance. And I went there and they talked about it. And that day, I met Jesus Christ. That day, there was a beginning of a change forever. And that's available to everybody. But it starts in Jesus Christ. If we could we bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute? Thank you for listening. I tried to go fast. Our service a little bit long with the extra singing and so forth. Thank you for being so attentive. I appreciate that. But I want to ask you a question. What has the resurrection, what has Jesus Christ done to change your life? I don't want to just know about the story of Jesus Christ. I wanted it to change my life. Amen. But there's a starting point to that. Because we talk about the resurrection where Jesus Christ came to die, where he was resurrected from the dead. But here's the thing. Why did he die in the first place? He died for you, and he died for me. So that I could know before I die that I'm going to conquer death. Here's the question. And the question I heard on that Easter Sunday, 1978, here it is. If you were to die today, would you be 100% sure that you're going to heaven, or would you have some doubt? Would you even know from a scriptural standpoint why you're going? And as I answer that question, I sit back there and like, I do not know. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, here's the question. If that's you, if you'd say, you know, Pastor, that is me. I am not 100% for sure that if I were to die, that I'd go to heaven. But Pastor, that's something I would like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? I would love to know that. Just with nobody looking around, would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Anybody at all, just raise your hand. Yes, back there. Yes, here. I would encourage you like me, do not leave before you know that you've trusted Christ. Let's stand together if we may. Maybe you're saved and you know about Jesus Christ. Maybe you've trusted him as your Savior. But you don't have the type of relationship with him that's changed your life. Maybe it's like, I'm glad I know him, but I'm still kind of struggling with these things. God doesn't want you to do that. God wants to be real in your life each and every day. God wants to be there when things are going great, but you know what? He also wants to be there when you're struggling and you're having problems in life. The problem is, when we're not willing to have him with us during the good times, we struggle to find him or remember him in the bad times. I want him with me at all times. He tells us in Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My admonition to you and to me is, let's stay close to him today. The piano is going to play. If God spoke to you and you'd like to pray, you can come to this altar and pray. As the piano plays, why don't you come? Why don't you come?